Where do you think sort of the guilt fits into the smoker who's developed lung cancer? Is that a topic that comes up in conversation with the oncologist, Ed?
There is a guilt, but it's a resolved guilt, almost like a poker player or a gambler. I know I shouldn't have spent all my money betting at the table. I feel a little bad about it, but, you know, I gained enjoyment from it. And really, not every smoker develops lung cancer. And so that's the other thing. You have to have a little bit of bad luck on your side, regardless of how extensive a smoker you are, to get this. And it's unfortunate that anyone gets it, but certainly smoking is something that has been known to relate to causality.
Roy?
The converse of this is now look at all the non-smokers who get lung cancer. And you have a young woman in the office who's never smoked, you know, and she now has this disease, and which, you know, people will assume is due to smoking. Then, you know, sometimes family members wonder, is it something that we've done? Is it passive smoke? Was it because dad smoked or someone, you know, was exposed to asbestos? So that's an issue now as well. And it hurts, I think, research in lung cancer, because if you look at the funding of research in lung cancer compared to the other major solid tumors, compared to the number of deaths from lung cancer, it's really an underfunded disease. And that's due to many reasons, but I think part of it is this perception that it is a smoking-related disease. Also, because it's such a fatal disease, many of the patients don't stay around long enough to lobby, as one might, you know, with breast cancer and prostate cancer patients. You know, it affects everyone.
A number of lung cancer patients have said to me that when they tell people they have lung cancer, often the first question is, do you smoke or did you smoke? The most interesting way I heard a patient describe, this was a non-smoker with lung cancer, how she responds to that question of did you smoke is, why do you ask? We don't ask people with heart disease, what was your diet like, et cetera.
I think 2005 was an extremely symbolic year for lung cancer, especially from a national profile standpoint. You had Peter Jennings, who is a longtime smoker, male, and obviously his passing was pretty quickly. Then you had Dana Reif, who is a young woman, non-smoker, who is obviously hit by some very bad luck in her lifetime. I think it's particularly interesting, and I want to hear the comments from the other docs here, is when you have that patient who has that guilt and you describe that patient who stopped smoking regardless of the cancer diagnosis from a basal cell to a lung cancer, it's amazing to me to see how many of the family members continue to smoke.
Yeah.
Interesting.
Spouses even continue to smoke.
But one thing that I think we do need to push more, and we are, is the former smoker. So Ki Hong, who's our chairman, would call these the good citizens, the people who have reformed, they've stopped smoking, but then, of course, they're living with this increased risk of lung cancer forever, and perhaps they can get it down to double the population after 15, 20 years. So that's the group where I think the research and screening is going to be critical. Screening efforts have been somewhat plagued by the fact of nonspecific diagnoses and what do you do with a small 5-millimeter lesion. That's hopefully being worked out as the trials of large numbers are going forward. And then, of course, what do you do when you find disease early? The problem is, as we've discussed today, even in the adjuvant setting, even when a tumor is removed as a stage 1B, there's a 40 to 50% chance at 5 years of recurrence. But now, hopefully, with better adjuvant chemotherapy, with some of the biologic agents we've talked about today, or erlotinib, bevacizumab, and others, that might be something we can tackle.
It's interesting. Our group has done patterns of care studies where we've asked oncologists in practice, what do you do in different situations? It's interesting to see what the bar is for giving adjuvant therapy in breast cancer, colon cancer, and lung cancer. We said before that you wouldn't give chemotherapy to a 1A patient. What's the risk of relapse as 1A non-small cell? What would you say it is?
35 to 40%.
And you don't treat, yet these guys are using chemotherapy for 10% risk of relapse in breast cancer. Am I correct?
Absolutely.
Interesting difference there. This concludes the first CD. For more from our case-based tumor panel discussion, please turn to the second CD.